Oh man. Sometimes when you're trying to do this thing, it just like everything falls apart. That's how I feel like today is gone. Just everything is falling apart and had trying to get a bunch of different things done. I got the kids home today. So it's just a lot. It's a lot going on. So apologies for anything that might happen during this live stream because who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But you know what? Let's say hi to some of the people that have been waiting around forever for this stream to get started. Let's start with Seth. Seth was here and says, "Wow, my weekend was good, and we didn't sing Good, Good Father." Well, you gotta think, you know, a lot of these worship pastors, leaders, worship pastors, directors, if you're in the SBC, they're all like, do we do it? Do we? Oh, and local recording stopped. Oh my goodness. I'm gonna have to chop this up via the YouTubes. Oh man, all kinds of stuff going on. The guy just loves to cause division. I guess it's my jam. That's what people say. I don't know. And he said he almost didn't tune in after Dean's ridiculous Canadian potato chip take. I can't help it. Those all dressed chips, they're insane. They're just bad. They're ketchup, the ketchup chips. It's just what is happening right now? Why are we doing this to ourselves? If you're wondering like what that's all about, I did a stream from my porch. I was told, Dean, that's not your porch. That's your deck. Porches are in the front yard. Decks are in the backyard. I just sounded better. Sounded better to say from my porch, but I did a stream on Saturday from my porch, and we just had a chill stream. And then let's see. Pam is here. Says seems odd to me somehow about something. Something probably I think is SBC related. Or maybe we're talking about the Disney stuff. We'll get into it. We'll get into it in a minute. David says, "Hey Pamela, they don't seem bothered that Elevation is female pastors either." Verdict. Ew, you guys are talking about that? You're talking about the SBC and their female pastors? Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on there. And then, you know, David's a good guy. He's just. You know, how was your weekend? I love that you guys have like these talks and we're building this community together and you guys can have all the interactions. Heidi is here, says hello, hello, hello. One hello wasn't good enough for Heidi. She had to go and make it thrice. I haven't said that in forever. And Chanelisa says, shouldn't the pressing matter be how generally awful remakes are and what Disney's horrible animation has turned into? That is for my other YouTube channel called The Movie Dean, and you can find that here on YouTube. But we are talking about the Gospel Coalition. What is going on with those Gospel Coalition folks? Whether it's supporting Josh Butler over and over again when they had been told like this isn't any good from like lots and lots of people. Not just guys in their basements, okay? I'm talking about the people who've been published. Lots of them were like, what is going on with this beautiful union excerpt book thing? What's going on here? And they defended it. And then they've just had article after article lately that's just been like, what is happening right now? What are you guys trying to do? Well, here's what we're going to be talking about, at least for the beginning of the show. All right. What is this? Look at this title. Okay, I'm going to be, once again, some people get mad at me. I'm going to say things a little bit differently for YouTube because YouTube doesn't like it when you say certain words. And so I'm just going to play the game, okay? This has no bearing on my political and slash or religious beliefs. And like, you guys know, we want people to watch this. We want people to join our stream. And you got to say certain things a different way just to be able to play the game with YouTube. But look at this title. Is Disney's The Little Mermaid a transubstantiation fable? That's how I'm going to get around with this today. Okay. So this is from Brett McCracken, the Krakenator. He likes to talk about movies a lot. Now, he is the guy, that people make fun of because he's always like, I found 9 things about the gospel in the Batman, you know, like it's just like, what are you doing right now? Like, you just really like movies. Go do a movie. You can start your own movie YouTube channel or, you know, start your own movie blog or something like that. But he just loves movies and, definitely don't agree with his movie takes either. But he wants to talk about it a lot. And so he brings that into the Gospel Coalition. Now, a cynical person would be like, why? Because a lot of the times he's forcing the issue. It's not, you know, sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes it's obvious, like, all right, here's a little behind the scenes. I did a video last year about Thor, Love and Thunder. And, I was like, the theology of Thor, Love and Thunder. Got to be honest with you guys. It didn't feel right as soon as I published it. Like, I was just like, why did I do this? But I like movies and I like talking about stuff on here, obviously theological. So like, I wanted to mix these two worlds. And for me, I just found that it rang false when I tried to do it. And so that video, there was never a sequel to it. But that's kind of what McCracken does, is he takes something, and that I think it was pretty obvious in that movie about Gore, the God Butcher, being like, gods aren't good. And, you know, if they are good, then why is there suffering? I thought that was a pretty obvious thing to talk about the theology of the Bible with cultural aspects, with taking Thor and using that. But a lot of times what the Gospel Coalition does is that they actually just kind of force it into these conversations. And they'll be like I said, like 9 points about the gospel in Wes Anderson's latest movie. And it's like, that's not what Wes Anderson was trying to do with his movie. And here we have another case of this kind of an issue with is Disney's The Little Mermaid transubstantiation fable. I'm sorry if I see Pam. Oh no, I'll never be able to think of transubstantiation the same now. I'm just trying to get through this thing, okay? All right, so let's take a look at this article from the McCracken. By now, Disney's progressive cultural agenda is well known and hardly hidden. And given the company's massive reach and proven knack for enchanting young audiences and shaping their worldviews over time, Christian parents are right to be concerned. Which, right off the bat, I gotta say, this feels like pandering. Like, this feels like pandering to a certain audience that they have lost a long time ago. I don't know what McCracken is trying to do. Because all those people left over the pandemic issues and, you know, social justice stuff that was going on in 2020, those people are long gone. They're not reading the Gospel Coalition unless they hear about it on Twitter. And so this feels like pandering to an audience that just doesn't exist. But they're saying, you know, Disney's out to get everybody. I've talked a lot about Disney being out to get people. Because that's always the accusation from Christians, and especially right now with things going on in Florida. And I've talked about that. There are videos that I have on my channel about that. So I'm just going to leave that alone for right now. I'm less worried about obvious offenders like last year's Lightyear and Strange World, which bombed at the box office. So shade being thrown here at the box office after audiences rejected their overt letters content. What's more concerning are the highly popular and beloved films like The Little Mermaid, which may seem more morally neutral and wholesome for otherwise cautious parents. Yet Disney's new live-action remake of The Little Mermaid, even more than the 1989 original, advocates. I want you to notice the wording, okay? Like, 'cause here we are. This is underdog theology. We're holding some of these big dogs with their big websites accountable and asking critical questions of what they put out. Notice the wording. Advocates a message that should give us pause. On one hand, it's just more of the same for Disney. Be true to yourself. Follow your heart. Don't let anyone stand in your way. I don't know if that part's like classic Disney, but okay. My body, my choice. I I just want this again to be said. This is not this guy's personal blog. All right. This is an article that he writes for the Gospel Coalition, like one of the biggest, most reputable theological websites out there, and something that we're supposed to all be able to rally around. Remember, the Gospel Coalition. It's about the gospel. It's maybe it's not together for the gospel, but we're surrounded. It's about the gospel. And for some reason, you get a lot of just personal stuff being thrown in here. Okay. My body, my choice, but especially against the backdrop of our current cultural moment, the 2023 mermaid takes it one step further. Okay, here we go. What's commendable? There's some stuff that he's like, hey, there's some good things about this. And let's go back down over here. Though critiqued by some for its noticeably race-conscious casting, Christians should spend pennies shouldn't spend pennies attacking the film for that. Okay, thank you. Like, honestly, when I saw the title, because I do talk about movies here on YouTube as well. Movie Dean, I'm just saying, if you like movies, don't come over there if you're just like, I'm here for theology. I don't care about movies. Don't go over there. But if you do like movies, the Movie Dean. But I talk about movies on YouTube. And because of that, I know like how severe this hatred is over the casting of this girl and her being a different shade than what you see in the classic cartoon. And I got to say, there is an incredible amount of hate online for the movie because of those reasons. And some of it is just straight up racism. And I will say some of it seems like it's just, this isn't what I was used to as a kid. And you're changing a character and gets into like, if you can change that about a character, why can't you change all these other things? It's a slippery slope and blah, blah, blah. Like maybe there's something to that. Maybe a tiny little nugget to that. But the rest of it is just, woo, they're out to lunch. So I was a little concerned when I saw this. It was like, really? Gospel Coalition? Are you guys hopping on this bandwagon? So I appreciate him saying that, though occasionally question raising, why are all the Triton's mer daughters different ethnicities with no resemblance to one another? That's look at any movie. There's tons of that stuff. The diverse cast is mostly refreshing. Bailey more than lives up to the title role. And I enjoyed Art Malik as Sir Grimsby, blah, 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 blah. Where Christian viewers do have cause for concern, however, is on the subtler level of themes and assumptions. I'm slipping into Letters from the Culture War, which I was gonna hope, like, I'll probably have one next week, but I was hoping to do one this weekend, but Father's Day, and it was our anniversary yesterday, 13 years. Thank the Lord for that. But it was a busy weekend. But here we go. If not explicitly advocating Letters' sexual ethics, at least provide ideological scaffolding for them. Ideological scaffolding. Like, this is a phrase, like this whole idea of scaffolding I've seen go around. I forget who it was. There was someone, maybe it was Piper, that started using that in a lecture. And then like everyone took that and was like, ooh, scaffolding, and started using it in all their articles. But just something I've noticed. All right. Anyways, legacy of 1989 Little Mermaid. Before we get to the 2023 version. So like, why? It's so much. It's just so much. Like, you're just, I know you got a word count that you got to keep going with these things, but let's just get to the point here. All right. 2023's Mermaid, Don't Get Left Behind. The remake contains all the above themes and references and more, directed by a gay man. Oh, Marshall. And released to coincide with Pride Month. That's not true. Like, that's just not true. That's just factually incorrect. Just saying, Little Mermaid came out in May. May is not Pride Month. Just saying. And everyone who knows anything about movies knows that they're like, that first week is the week for the movie. Like, if it doesn't perform well opening weekend, Like, it's going to be a total bust. So you aren't baking on like your audience coming in 4 weeks later. Like, that's not how you put out a movie. Like, you are banking that this weekend is going to be the one that everyone's going to come to, everyone's going to love. Also, I think it was actually before, because it was Guardians of the Galaxy was the first one in May, and I think it was the week before that Little Mermaid came out. So that's just wrong. Like, that's showing an agenda from the writer that you just say, oh, because, you know, it's June. Like, the film leans even more directly into the progressive assumptions that make transubstantiation, YouTube, plausible. Something new in this version is a slightly expanded personality for Prince Eric, who's positioned as a progressive visionary. It's so weird reading this from the Gospel Coalition. I just got to be honest. Like, I read a lot of movie stuff because, again, like, I talk about it here on YouTube, but also I just love movies. So I'm usually reading like Deadline and The Hollywood Reporter and Variety and stuff like that about movie news. And just kind of shocking to be reading an article like this. That's like, oh, this character, like, on the Gospel Coalition? Like, come on. All right. Who's positioned as a progressive visionary arguing for expanded horizons and breaking rank with tired traditions and fear-based conservatism. He's constantly saying things like, we have to stay open to what's out there, and that's the only way we can grow. Now, in the context, McCracken is saying that's bad, because that's too close, I guess, to political progressivism, where you're saying like, oh, we can't be tied to the traditional views on things like marriage. And like that, that's really what he's going to be aiming at. But other traditional views as well, like, he's saying, oh, it's so subtle. It's so subtle here. Is it? Or are you just seeing something that just isn't there? Eric's adopted mother, Queen Selena, comes to share that outlook too, encouraged her son to venture into uncharted waters and new ideas so they don't get left behind. When Ariel, having transitioned, that's the language that one of the main guys, like, this is not just like random guy who finally gets his article published at Gospel Coalition. This is one of the main guys here. That's the wording that he wants to use for this. Having transitioned from a mermaid tail to legs, and Eric are married, Selena remarks to royal advisor Grimsby, a mermaid and a man, whoever would have imagined. She might as well have added, what we once thought transgressive is now normal. I don't know what that means. I guess that's a phrase that people use, that aggressive one. Love is love. Sometimes, like, I do this show and I want to like give you a bunch of different reasons for things, but like I feel like all I have to do is read this and be like, what are we doing? What are we doing right now as evangelicals, as the Gospel Coalition? If you've ever supported the Gospel Coalition, you should be like, what is happening over there that you... All right, look at this. All right, the phrase, a mermaid and a man, whoever would have imagined. And his quip is to be like, oh yeah, what are they going to say next? Love is love. It's the same thing from 1989. Like, these aspects, he's saying, oh, there's a little bit more here, because they're talking about expanding their horizons and not getting stuck in the past. That's like any story about a youth, right? A youth. It's a young person. Time to go get on the porch again and start rocking in my rocking chair as I yell at kids to get off my lawn. Sounded really old right now. But any story about a young person growing up and trying to figure out where they're headed as a person, you know, with, you know, authoritative figures in their life, it's always that. It's always, oh, I want to think for myself. And it's just so odd and bizarre that he's like, oh, love is love. Is that what you're going to say next? What? Like, this is showing me that Gospel Coalition is trying to shift. I think they're, again, like I said at the very beginning of this article, I think they're trying to pander to an audience that they're never going to win back. And I think that they need to just quit. Like, just focus on the gospel. Like, you could write articles about cultural engagement, but this ain't it. This is looking for things that just aren't in the story. And if they are, like, little aspects of it are in the story, it's the same story. Like, I think it was, who was it? Oh, we got someone who might have woken up from a nap. Shanna Lee was saying, like, they're just all the same things. That's basically my issue with this. Like, it's the same movie from 1989 with a little bit more dialogue. I need to just check on something. So I'm going to go to a quick break, but we'll be right back in just a minute. Sorry about that. Okay, sorry about that. I'm still a dad, and the kids are home, and there was a little bit of a fight about who gets to control the remote. Big brother, that's who, because he's the biggest and the strongest, and he's going to make sure that you guys actually watch things that you can watch. All right, talking about things that you could watch The Little Mermaid. Well, at least not according to Brett McCracken. Let's keep on going here. So he starts talking about Triton, the characters of Triton and Ursula also hit me differently in this version. I wonder why. In light of the role adults play in the current, like, what? I don't even know how some of these sentences work, to be honest. In light of the role adults play in the current transubstantiation revolution, it's not one, but okay. Triton is positioned as a parent whose love for his daughter and concern her curiosities will bring her harm, leads him to a misplaced sense of protective authority in our transubstantiation moment. When parents are intentionally sidelined, their disapproval framed as outright dangerous, Triton stands for the well-intentioned but closed-minded parent whose traditional values need to be updated for the modern world. Boy, does this just read like someone's really scared. Like someone's just really scared. Maybe that this could happen to them, or that it maybe has happened to a friend or something. And they're just like, oh, we need everyone on alert. You know, there's a parent and they tell their kid what to do, and go figure, the kid doesn't go for it. This is the same thing that we see all over in real life and also in stories. This is nothing new. What's happening is he's using the language that he's concerned about, an agenda that he's trying to push, and using this movie to say there are subtle themes of this. No, there isn't. There is just you being concerned about an issue and reading that into what is happening in a stinking movie that is the same exact plot of a movie from 1989. And we know that because that's what the audience has said. They didn't like it because it was the exact same. So if you're concerned about this and you're like, oh, this is so dangerous, this ideology that's being pushed by Disney. Well, why haven't you been saying that since 1989? I was born in 89. We're talking about 33 years. Like, come on. This story has been out there forever. And it's just ridiculous to me that the Gospel Coalition is just there. They just put this out and they still have it on their front page. They're still saying, like, you guys should read this. And it just goes on and on and on about this. Let's just go to the very end here. It's a ridiculous read. If you want to take the time to go through every word of it, you can. But this is what Brett finishes with. Ironically, one of the wisest characters in the film, Grimsby, tells Prince Eric at one point, don't be held back by what you think you should be. Think only of what is. It's an advice to the. It's advice in the direction of gratitude for the given and growth within limits, yet the film at large advocates the opposite. Ariel shouldn't think only of what is. Instead, she should listen to what her heart says. Should be even the impossibility of overcoming her assigned at birth biology to becoming something different. Oh my goodness. It's a fairy tale about a girl who gets gills, or who has gills and fins, and she gets legs. She doesn't change into a boy. Like, this is so bizarre. But Christians know the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. And we also know limits are for our good. We are not our own in self-denial. What a weird way to talk about self-denial. Rather than self-indulgence is the path to life. In a culture where the opposite values are instilled through subtle, often charming entertainment for children, we must cling to and inculcate, is that a word? Biblical truths, more resolutely than ever. And again, just so we're all aware of who wrote this, Brett McCracken is a senior editor and director of communications at the Gospel Coalition. He's the author of a bunch of books, and they belong to Southlands Church and blah, 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 blah. That's what he has in his bio. Okay. So what's the point? My point in bringing this up is not just to point out how absurd this article is, but it's something that we have as Christians that I just don't understand. Luke Daly asked me on Saturday in our chill stream on the porch, how should Christians deal with culture? Should we run away from culture or should we engage it? And what this is saying is run away. Like, this isn't engaging the culture. This is, I see a problem in culture, and I'm going to use this cultural aspect, this story, this movie that people love, lots of people love. It's made a lot of money, but even if you go back to the 1989 version, a lot more people love. And you're saying, based off of my fears of what I see in culture, you're imprinting that on a cultural item like this story, and then saying everyone should avoid it. That's not how we deal with culture. That's not engaging culture. That is running away from culture. And it's based off of a fear that we as Christians just shouldn't have. Like, Jesus told us, he has overcome the world. Greater is he that is in you that is in the world. Like, yes, there is a certain aspect that the world will hate Christianity and will hate what represents Jesus faithfully. There is an aspect of that, but we shouldn't assume that hatred in different stories, in different aspects of culture where it's not clearly seen. All right. Is there a spirit of the world that is against Christianity? Yes. But is everything opposed to Christianity? No. And what I see here is someone who is scared. Who is scared of what they see as a terrible thing that's going to infect all of culture. And they're reading that into the culture and then saying, run away from this thing. And that's just not how we do it. because we have Jesus, because we have the Bible, because we can rest assured in our principles and be able to understand that the world is different and engage that, not in a false war, not in a false war where you're reading all your fears into what they're saying, but engage it in a way that you could actually have conversation about that actual moment where ideas, you know, actually hit each other, where there's like the front line of this war of ideology. You can engage it at that point, not reading your fears into what you just assume that this other side is trying to do with these subtle themes. We have the word of God. We don't need to be so fearful of the world. Now, we do need to be careful about how it affects us and, you know, as a parent, of course, how it affects our children. And there are certainly things that Disney has put out. Don't get me wrong. All right, there are certainly things Disney has put out over the last few years that I do think have been trying to, you know, give a little bit of ounce of, you know, this agenda and that agenda, put it in there, and maybe in time something will come from it. I do think that's a thing. But at the same time, as a parent, I can choose to have my sons, because I have sons, but if you have a daughter, sons and daughters, to not watch that thing, or to be able to watch it and have a conversation about that thing and explain to them what the Bible actually teaches about that thing and how it's different than whatever that cultural thing is. So it's just interesting to see the Gospel Coalition change, and it's changing right in front of us. And I think that there are a couple different factions at the Gospel Coalition, and we've seen that several times now with things like the Butler stuff, the Josh Butler stuff. We saw it with a few of their other articles and different things like Kevin DeYoung not really writing for them anymore and doing his own thing. Like, there are factions at the Gospel Coalition, and to me, this just reads as a dying company. And I don't like saying that. I've learned a lot from the Gospel Coalition, and a lot of the most influential guys at the Gospel Coalition I tend to like. I like reading their stuff. But this one, no. And it reads like a dying organization trying to grasp at an audience that they think might save them. And those guys are already gone. Brett McCracken, don't go after those people, because they don't like you. All right. They aren't going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to anyone associated with the Gospel Coalition, because they're already gone out the door. Like, they're over at the Doug Wilson camp. They're over, reading Dale Partridge's stuff. They've been radicalized already. Like, they're not going to be like, oh, okay, you care about the Disney stuff too. Now I'll come over and read your stuff. It's just not going to happen. So they're grasping at an audience that I think isn't there, and they're fearful of the culture. And I think that there is a difference of opinion at the Gospel Coalition about how to engage culture. And this, to me, that's not it. But let me know what you guys think down in the comments section. If you're here, I'm going to take a couple of these comments, and we're going to talk about Sean Fuchte. Fuke? Fuchte? There's a T in there. But we'll see. Skate says, The Little Mermaid is a story by Hans Christian Andersen from the 1800s. They didn't seem to have a problem with it back then. Yep. It's interesting how our fears shape how we view a product. Let's see, Pod. So if we take to the logical extreme, Little Mermaid circa 1989 was the gateway drug to transubstantiation in 2023. Seems that way. But yeah. Pam says, I love the Little Mermaid story and 1989 version. Haven't seen the live action. Does it seem like Disney is stuck in a never-ending remake loop? Absolutely. Absolutely they are. And again, go over to Movie Dean here on YouTube if you want me to talk about that more. All right. David says, seems like TGC is becoming the Babylon Bee day by day. They are a parody of themselves and don't see it. Harsh, but I think kind of accurate. And I've seen this actually. This take is kind of all over the place of people being like, what is happening? Like, their articles, and they seem to be exaggerating so much, and it kind of feels like parody. Let's see. I'll take Heidi's, and then we'll move into Sean Fuchte. Am I missing how the new Little Mermaid is any different from the original Disney cartoon? She transitions to a human in both. I never heard this debate when that one came out. No, usually if there's any kind of debate about these Disney movies, and the same could be said for Beauty and the Beast and Mulan especially, but like it was always disobedience of parents and making the parents look dumb and the kids have to, you know, disobey their parents and be rebellious so that they could achieve their dreams. And that's usually what a lot of conservative Christians have had, you know, if they had umbrage with Disney, that's usually the case for some of their movies. But nope, now it's just the most extreme political stuff that is just nowhere in these stories, and they're just finding it. And I think it's a shame. It's a bad testimony too, by the way, to the world that we're not going to deal with them in good faith. Like we're going to read all our worst fears into everything they say and do and what they put out. And we're just going to always assume that they're trying to indoctrinate our children. You know, when someone who isn't saved hears stuff like that, like do you think that's going to be like something that they're going to be like, oh, Christians really care. You know, they really care and they're really, you know, like they're dealing with things in a really kind way. You think, no, they're not going to deal with things that way. They're going to assume like, why do they hate me? I that's not what I was doing at all. That's not what the Little Mermaid is about at all. But you just hate me. And so you're just assuming that I have like these horrible motives in whatever I'm trying to do. Now, are there some people who do have those motives? Sure. But let's stop assuming the worst of people. No, we shouldn't do it as Christians. It happens far too often as Christians. But we definitely shouldn't do it with the world either and just assume that they're just here to kill us all. You know, like, what? No, stop it. Like, stop being so fearful. But let's hop into another story that... Oh, man, guys. You guys want to see me just, like, get really angry? Here we go. This is so weird.
Jesus, it speaks a better word. Speaks a better word than the sin and the perversion and the darkness than the confusion than the heaviness. The blood of Jesus that speaks a better word. We declare your blood over America. We declare the blood of Jesus over this nation. The blood of Jesus over D.C., the blood of Jesus over the United States Capitol. We thank you, Jesus, for your blood. It covers, it sets us free. And together today, God, we declare your blood, the power of your blood. In Jesus' name, let's take the oath. The blood of Jesus.
So what you saw there is musician, not pastor, not theologian, not even really a good motivational speaker, but you saw musician Sean Fuchs take communion at the Capitol building. And one, that's not how communion works. Like, this is one of those things where you're just like, well, someone went to a non-denominational church where, you know, it was just free game for like, I've had friends even who do communion and there's just like a communion table and people can go and do communion if they want. That's not what we see in scripture. All right. Now I'm a Baptist. I'm really formal about these kinds of things, but communion is done with the church. You don't just go, oh, let's go to the Capitol building. And instead of praying on video, we'll do communion on video. That's not what communion is for. Communion is for the fellowship of the saints to remind each other of the grace of Jesus Christ in our lives and encourages us to forgive one another about, you know, our own transgressions that we have done to each other. It's both a worship experience, but also a reconciliatory act within the church that we are reconciling with one another. Now, Sean Fuchs, there's no church at the Capitol building, but you know, they got an iPhone, so they're going to do it. Now his wording here is, again, I don't know where he's from. It's probably some non-denominational, like Pentecostal-y kind of church and maybe Word of Faith. I don't know, But when you start talking about declaring the blood of Jesus, I don't know what to do with that. I don't know what that means at all. Now, this video is getting thousands and thousands of views, probably millions of views, because all these Christians, once again, just like with the Gospel Coalition article, being like, oh, you know, this is such a terrible thing that we see in culture. There's also like this political activism that comes with that fear of culture, where you're just like, well, we just have to promote our Christian values and we need to go to the places that are most important and promote our Christian values. I guarantee you no one's paying attention to what Sean Fuchs is doing at the Capitol building, except for the people watching the video. Like no one there, like maybe that security guy back there with the badge, like is like, what's going on? But no, like there's no impact for Jesus with this, but he's saying, I declare the blood of Jesus. I don't know what that means. I've tried to figure it out. that's a word salad, and he's throwing a Jesus word salad into an iPhone and shooting it. I will just go back. You know, these people do things for different reasons. You know, look as he takes communion. Is he thinking about Jesus? He seems to be looking at the camera guy. Communion is serious business. You don't just do it to have like your cultural thing pushed out. To be able to say, this is where I stand on things. I'm a political conservative. You could be a political conservative, of course. But if you're going to take communion, understand what Paul said. You eat and you drink condemnation on yourself if you do it unworthily. Staring at the camera guy while you're taking a sip, I think speaks to your motivation for doing this. And I think that Sean Fuchs just drank condemnation upon himself. And that's Bible, okay? That's not just Dean's opinion. You got to have the right motivations when it comes to communion. Also, again, you can call it communion, but is it really communion? But this was going around, and you know, I was even asked about it on Saturday, and I was like, all right, I'm going to talk about it a little bit. But this is where that same kind of idea of fear of culture and trying to combat that with your ideology and in a really aggressive way, it's not that different than what the Gospel Coalition did with this Little Mermaid article. It's just going to the Capitol building and doing that. So it's they go hand in hand. Let's see a couple more of your comments, and then we'll hop into the last couple segments for the show. Let's see. It's almost, yeah, David says, it's almost like he partook of the elements unworthily. Almost. Yeah, for sure. Lael, hey, oh dear. It's the God speaks to me through numbers guy. Yeah. Odd fellow to say the least. Wendy says, perhaps too strong, but at what point has he crossed over into the profane and blasphemous? Oh, I think he did that long ago. This is just the latest iteration and maybe the most public one. But yeah, I don't think that he really cares about that line, and this is way past that line. But yeah, 100% totally agree with you, Wendy. All right, let's do, what do we want to do first? Do we want to do Fundytown? Oh, we'll take it from the comments or from the chat. You want to go to Fundytown first, or do you want to go to the penalty box? I'll leave it up to you. Which one? Penalty box, Fundyville, whoever gets into the chat first and lets me know, that's what we're going to go with. And what was that about? I got to look it up. Declare the blood. What's the cash value of that? Yeah. Right. Kind of seems like maybe I'm waiting to see who's going to hop in first. I know that there's like, there's about a 45 second delay between me saying something and you being able to watch it. And then, for me to see it in the chat. So, all right, we see it. We got Seth saying Fundytown, Kayla saying Fundyville. I gotta firm up. Is it Fundyville or Fundytown? I gotta figure this stuff out. And bring it on down to Fundyville. All right. Oh, I forgot to do that. Let's bring in Okay. Here we go. Here we go. Welcome to Fundyville. This is going to be a fun one. All right. everyone wanted Fundyville. Nobody wanted the penalty box. All right. Let's see what this guy has to say. You guys know him? Let me know in the chat if you know who this is.
Now, do they all believe it? Oh, no. That's why people don't stay. But I'm not here to get people to stay. I'm here to please the Lord. And it's hard. You think it's easy. It's a large church. And you see, you think it's easy to watch people walk out the door? Sometimes people you've loved for 30, 40, 45 years. That's not fun. I hate it. And at the best, you get an email. By the way, we left. God moved us. That's not happened to you, Brother Angel. You're a nice guy. It's never happened to you, has it? And you're lucky. You're fortunate to get an email. They changed their worship. And then the Bible says they changed their music. There was noise in the camp. They were screaming and hollering, dancing. They changed their worship. They changed their music. It all goes in. And then they changed their attire. They were naked. I love all of our graduates. I love all the people who have been out. I have the next man that leaves me. You're not leaving. Next, sat next to me will be, I think, number 36 that sat right next to me. Brother Harold, you sat right next to me. You weren't wrong to leave. You're pastoring a great church. Brother Coburnett, wherever you are, you're not wrong. God put you where you're at.
You're not wrong to want a different job.
We don't have you here. I hate it that you're, I've had 36, I think, leave. Or 30, next one be 37, I think, to go pastor churches. And I'm happy for them. But I watch the men that grew up here. I watch the men out of our college. And so many, I watch the missionaries, so many just standing, so true. But I watch, and once you begin a little bit of error, there's no stopping. Well, we have this, we believe in this, but you're going to have to make up your mind. No, I'm the shepherd. I'm going to prepare good pasture, Psalm 23. I'm responsible for their safety.
Okay, let me know if you know who that is. That is, let me get that to go away here. But that is Jack Treiber. If you knew it, let me know. That is the pastor. It's like River Something Baptist Church, Golden State Baptist Bible College. It's big church. You might know him actually because him and Johnny Mack were the ones who were putting out stuff together about, you know, they were fighting against the government in California over the lockdowns. So this is one of the most fundamentalist guys you're going to come across. And what he basically just said here is he took an Old Testament passage where there like a lot of different things are happening in this camp. And he's like, oh, this is what happens, you know, in churches, you know, they start a little change. They change their worship. They change their dress. In the context of that, like the people were naked. Like, are you saying that's what's happening today? Like, if that was happening today, I think we'd all have concerns about it. But like he's talking about, oh, they're not wearing ties anymore. Oh, they're not listening to hymns or singing hymns anymore. And he watches these guys from his college. And I know some of those guys. I almost went to that college, by the way. Long story there. you know, like he's saying, like, these guys have come up through our system and then they go out and just a little bit. Next thing you know, they don't believe in Jesus anymore. Like, as if that's where it goes. No. And then at the last part, his authoritarianism just could not be silenced. And he could not just be gentle in that moment. He comes across as like when he's trying to be soft spoken. I'll be a little careful. How about this? I'll just say, I know for a fact, like, this is one of the aspects of his theology. I know for a fact that he isn't sure whether a Christian can get saved from reading from a non-King James Bible, because I heard him say it. All right. Like, I know a little bit. Okay. But he comes across as like this really gentle, figure from the pulpit. anyone who knows him and knows, like, has been around him will tell you that is not the case. but his authoritarianism, you know, he's talking about himself preparing good pasture for the sheep, for the church. Who's the shepherd? Who's the shepherd in Psalm 23? I'll just wait a second. I'll just wait. Is it Jack Treiber? Is it another pastor? Is it? No, of course it's God. That's what David says. Like, you are the shepherd. You lead me. Like, it's how prideful and arrogant to put yourself into that position and say, oh, I'm the shepherd. I need to provide good pasture for you. Psalm 23. Like, no, that's God. That's Jesus. Like, that's not your responsibility. If you're a pastor and you're thinking to yourself, like, oh, I just don't want these people to go down a wrong route. That's a good thought to have if it's actually a wrong route. But it's a good thing to think about. But just make sure that you aren't putting yourself into a position of authority in your life, in their life, that you just don't have. Like, you do have some authority as their pastor, but you are not God. RJ is right. The Lord is the good shepherd. Now, it shouldn't be that hard, but apparently for some fundies, it really is. Because after all, you know, let's make sure they keep their ties on and still sing these hymns. You know, we just can't let them fall into it. What are they going to do? They're going to sing Good, Good Father? Like, no, we can't have that. All right, that's the show for today, guys. I appreciate you guys hanging out with me, talking about theology, talking about, you know, some of these church stuff, these topics that we like to discuss together. And really what we're trying to do is just say, hey, you're not crazy. you're not crazy for seeing some of these issues. You're seeing things clearly, and you're not alone. You're not alone in seeing that, you know, some of these institutions, some of these figures that we all looked up to and respected, or maybe you didn't, maybe you're just hearing about them, but you're wondering why so many people have respected and looked up to some people, and then they say stuff like this. Or maybe you watch crazy things on Facebook and you're just like, oh, Sean Fuchs, who is this guy, and stuff like that. Like, that's what we're about. That's what this show is about. We're trying to just come together and be like, is this real? Is this something we actually should be concerned about? What does the Bible say about this? And just try to commiserate together. So you're not crazy. I'm not crazy. None of us are crazy. Unless you really are crazy. But anyways, we'll probably talk about that another time. But that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed it. I will see you later on in the week. Underdogs out!